Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale on Equestrian Legacy Radio. Heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I am so glad our trails have crossed. Oh, the joy you bring to me. And as I look upon each face, such kindness there I see. I wish for you the love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Our trails now go their separate ways, and life goes rolling on. I hope our trails will cross again before God takes us home. We share the wondrous love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Yes, as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Blessed trails.
Well, good morning and welcome to Blessed Trails. I am Belinda Gale and I am so delighted to be your host as we bring you very diverse guests from the cowboy world. We are blessed to share with you singer-songwriters, poets, artists, and craftsmen. Today's guest and his family are very special to me. Dan Schwartz and his family have a fabulous family called Schwartz Custom Boots. Every one of them is a work of art, and I am a proud owner of a pair of those boots. But before we bring Dan on, let's listen to Don Edwards singing Master's Call.
Lightning rolled in hoops and circles, and rain and sheets was coming down. Thunder rattled through the gulches as the hoofbeats shook the ground. And cowhands rode hell for leather, begging God for the break of day. A stampede beat the best camp meeting when it come to getting men to pray. I was but a young man, I was wild and full of fire. A youth within my teens and full of challenge and desire. Ran away from home and left my mother and my dad. Grieved them so to think that their only boy was bad. I fell in with an outlaw band, the names are known quite well. How many times we robbed and plundered I could never tell. This kind of sinful living will lead only to a fall. I learned that much and more the night I heard my master call. One night we rustled cattle, 1,000 head or so. Started them out on the trail that leads to Mexico. A norther started blowing, lightning flashed about. I thought someone was calling me, I thought I heard a shout. And at that moment lightning struck not 20 yards from me. And left there was a giant cross where once there was a tree. This time I knew I'd heard a voice so sweet and plain. A voice that came from everywhere, a voice that called my name. So frightened I was thinking of the sinful deeds I'd done. I failed to see the 1,000 head of cattle start to run. The cattle all stampeded and were running all around. My pony ran but stumbled and he threw me to the ground. I felt the end was nearing, that death would be the price. when a mighty bolt of lightning showed the face of Jesus Christ. I cried, oh Lord, forgive me, don't let it happen now. I want to live for you alone, and God, these words I vow. My wicked life unfolded, and I thought of wasted years, as another bolt of lightning killed 100 head of steers. The others rushed on by me, but I was left to live, for the Master had a reason, life was his to take or give. A miracle performed that night, I wasn't meant to die. The dead ones formed a barricade, at least 6 or 7 high. And right behind it there was I, afraid but safe and sound. I cried and begged for mercy, kneeling there upon the ground. A pardon I was granted, my sinful soul set free. No more to fear the angry waves upon life's stormy sea. Forgiven by the love of God, a love that will remain. I gave my life and soul the night the Savior called my name. I gave my life and soul the night the Savior called my name.
Is one of my favorite songs. Wow. Well, I met Dan and his family at the Heber Valley Cowboy Gathering several years ago. I had been admiring the boots in their vendor booth all weekend, but had not had a chance to actually go visit with them. And one of the days, while I was walking through the vendor area on my way to my next stage, the heel of my boot came off. The only thing that came to mind was to go to their booth and see if they could fix it, at least temporarily. And I'll finish that story once we bring Dan on, but suffice it to say, they were awesome. And I discovered that this was a family that were not only gifted craftsmen, they were kind and generous, and oh, how they loved the Lord with all their hearts. I feel so blessed to welcome to the show today, Dan Schwartz. Welcome, Dan.
Hey, good morning, Belinda.
I am so tickled to have you guys on. And the rest of the story, I wanted to wait and tell the rest of the story so you could chime in on it, because it was so fun, because I went limping, you know, back to your booth and like, you don't know me, but this just happened and I've got to go sing. And is there any way you can get this on? I had like just, you know, 10, 15 minutes or something like that before I had to be someplace. And so you guys just said, you said, what size boot do you wear? And I told you, and you said, that's the same size as my wife. You're Julia, give her your boots. And so she literally took the boots off her feet and gave them to me. And I went and performed in those boots while you were fixing my other pair, at least temporarily fixing them. You didn't have all your stuff there, but and from then on, I think the Lord knocked that heel off of my boot so that I could go have that connection with you guys, because we have been such... Yeah. Precious friends from then on. Y'all are just wonderful. And thank you. Do you have anything you want to, did you think I was nuts showing up at your booth and asking you to fix that?
No, actually we were honored, because you commented that as you walked up, you said, you know, you don't know me, but the fact is we maybe didn't know you personally, but of course we knew your music and respected what you do and what you have been doing. So, but even that we didn't know you, I think that's probably a false term. We absolutely knew who you were. We heard your music for years and years, you know, before that. So that was kind of fun for you to do that. I mean, and we were glad to help, of course.
Oh, you guys were so fun. It was really, really fun. Well, I've stayed in your home and we certainly have visited, but one thing I keep sharing with my listeners, I discover as I do these shows that We talk on this show about things that we don't seem to come up when we're just visiting and hanging out as friends. And so I'm really looking forward to learning more about you and your family, Dan. And so let's just kind of start at the beginning for you. We don't have Julia and Danny on, but I'm just where were you born? Where were you raised? I mean, you are such a real deal cowboy. Were you raised on a ranch? So fill me in, Dan. Where were your origins?
Well, the fact is, I was born in Sioux City, Iowa.
Okay.
I don't remember any of Iowa because I think I was less than a year old when my folks moved back to Montana. My mother's a native Montanan. My dad had farming roots in Iowa, but had an uncle that he felt pretty dear to that had a ranch in Montana. So my dad, at about 16 years old, left the family farm in Iowa and came out to Montana to work with his uncle. So that's kind of how and why he met Mother, of course. And then where I was raised primarily was on the Milk River Valley in north central Montana. And Dad was a ranch foreman there. So we had an irrigated hay farm. And I think about 700 or 800 mother cows on the farm. And of course, most of us kids grew up there. I'm the youngest of seven.
Wow.
And yeah, my dad was 50 years old when I was born. My mother was 40. So, of course, Dad used to refer to me as the end gate. Some call that a tailgate or whatever. But I was the end gate, of course.
You're the end gate to the kids.
Yeah,
I love that.
It was interesting perspective being raised by a gentleman who was as old as most of my friends' grandparents were, you know.
Wow.
Everything we did was, looking back now, I wouldn't have had it any other way. At the time, of course, we did everything the hard way. You know, there was no pivot sprinklers, there was no sprinkler pipes, it was all flood irrigated. It was all done with a shovel and a canvas dam, and there was no four-wheelers when it came to cowboying. Everything was done horseback.
Right.
You know, we didn't hire a farrier. We did all our own shoeing. You know, everything. Didn't hire a mechanic or anything like that. You did your own mechanic, and we tore down our own tires and repaired them, put them back on the vehicle. It was. Today, you know, we're in such a modern society, and you look back. You know, we did have running water, and we did have indoor plumbing, and we did have all those conveniences, of course. But Mom did all her laundry make eggs, bring your washer, and hung it on the line. We didn't have an electric dryer, but she said even at, you know, 20, 30 below zero, the clothes would freeze dry on the line, which they did.
Well, I bet. I was just thinking, how do you do that in the winter in Montana?
Well, it's freeze dried.
Freeze dried. That's funny. So now, Dan, did you grow up going to church? Was your family a Christian family?
I wouldn't say that we were not a church going family.
Okay.
Of course I had my dad there. So he literally made a little hanger under our kitchen table, a little bookshelf that, you know, was an interesting deal. It had, you know, like wood screws and conduit spacers that held the shelf below the table where he sat. And that's where his Bible was. So,
wow.
You know, after supper, when I would go to do my homework or you know, whatever it might be, Dad would pull his Bible out and spend, you know, several hours of an evening reading it. But where we grew up on the ranch with, like I say, it was old fashioned way of doing things. There was no days off. You always
right.
had cattle to feed or irrigation to do, or, you know, a day off was almost unheard of. And,
wow.
So we didn't take the day. We lived, I don't know, probably an hour or a little more from the nearest town, which was the county seat. And of course there were churches there, but Dad was kind of a rogue. If it didn't line up with the Bible, he wasn't going to sit under the feet of a preacher and have a preach wrong. He was really an old fashioned kind of guy, but,
old school, very so old school.
Very,
I love
very
it.
Old school. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as far as being a church member of any kind, we occasionally went to the local community church. My dad was one that didn't believe in the denominational name on the, you know, a title. So if we did go, it was to the community church where there was a, you know, every third Sunday of the month, I think there was services held there. But
Wow.
And of course, around us were all of the denominations, you know, all the time. But but I didn't come to know the Lord on a personal level until I was about 25 years old. So,
wow. How did that come about?
Well, one of the local preachers here and a good friend of mine that was going to that church saw the need for my soul and shared it with his pastor. And then the pastor made a house visit to my home, and probably more than one. That was a long time ago now, 25 years old. But through that association, and that's still the church we attend today.
Wow. Oh my gosh, that is so cool.
So yeah, it's been a good run, and of course we did the best we could raising our kids as church kids. You know, they attended Awana when we could get them to it, and all of that kind of thing. And we've lived on some remote ranches where it was difficult to get the family to town, but we did our best to have weekly Bible studies, you know, on the ranch, and invited the other ranch hands and their families to it. And that was a lot of fun those years. But
yeah,
anybody who lives the ranch life knows that it's not a terribly wonderful way to live in a lot of ways. But when you flip the side, it is the most wonderful way to live.
It's one of the most demanding lifestyles that I have ever lived, and it's from dawn, many times pre-dawn, to after dark, and there's really no downtime. There's always stuff to do. There's things to mend. So even on your downtime, you're fixing things and mending things and taking care of things that, you know, you can't be outside doing. So, but you're right. When you think of just the work ethic that you develop and the sense of accomplishment and the sense of your life being meaningful, there's nothing like it. So, wow,
no,
what a blessing.
That's very true. And I remember the older kids, you know, they had 4-H livestock and of course they had horses and bred heifers and even did some market lambs one year. And I remember complaining about the chores, you know, having to get up before breakfast and do chores and go out again after supper. And so we had a talk one night, and I said, well, you know, I explained to them that a lot of kids don't have those opportunities to do these kind of things. And that we could sure have them sign a bill of sale, and Dad would own the cows if they wanted. And of course, they didn't like the idea of that. And then I said, from now on, we're going to call these the honors instead of the chores, because it's an honor to have that livestock. And
oh, good for you!
You know, even a young mind can understand that difference between an honor and a chore. So,
yes.
So their attitude changed drastically, and they became pretty good little chore doers. They did most of mine too, a lot of times.
Wow, I love that. I hope the parents that are listening to this right now turn this into the chores that their children are honored, have the honor of doing around the home to help out with the family. Start calling it the honors.
Sure.
I love that. I love it, Dan. Well, this is a good place to take a little break, and especially since we've been talking about the blessings of the lifestyle, that, you know, the Western, the cowboy ranching lifestyle. This is a wonderful song from Gene Prescott. These things say freedom to me.
A gallop, their flags streaming by. A band, a parade, a picnic in the shade. The joy of the 4th of July. Ranchers and nesters, John Wayne and Winchesters, open range cowboys still ride. 4-H fairs, FFA, PTA, good old American bride. And see big cities glowing and farm fields are growing. These things say freedom to me. Redwood forests grow Texas, the Alamo, splendors of wild Yellowstone, the grandeur of Grand Canyon, the Mojave Desert, Mount Rushmore standing alone. Stand up for the land of the free. Worship on Sunday, hard work on Monday, a ball game next Saturday night. You hope and you pray for young folks far away, for freedom so willing to fight. The Great Revolution, our fine Constitution, Abe Lincoln and Robert E. Lee. America standing, these things say freedom to me. Hats off when you cry at old glory on high. Let's sing the anthem of sweet liberty. Hand over heart, let's all do our part and stand up for the land of the free. These things say freedom to me. Hand over heart, let's all do our part and stand up for the land of the free. Freedom, let freedom ring. These things say freedom to me. Hand over heart, let's all do our part and stand up for the land of the free. Freedom, let freedom ring.
Oh, that song just makes me smile and makes me kind of sad all at the same time. Oh, gosh. Don't you love that song, Dan?
I do. When you talk about freedom, it was brought to my attention not too long ago that we as Americans had a 1 in 6 chance of being born in this country. So if you can't think of something else to thank God for, at least there's that.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we could have been born in some third world country and digging in garbage cans to get to eat. Oh my gosh,
or working for our government with no hope for our own, you know, accomplishments to be recognized at all or
right.
Whatever it might be. But the 1 in 6 chance kind of puts it into perspective when you talk about the world population and those of us fortunate enough to be born here under any circumstance.
Wow. Yes, that's true. Because there's always a way out. In this country, there's always a way out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's whether we're born in the city or on the farm or ranch, it doesn't matter. We all had a lot better start than the other five had.
Right. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Wow. That's true. Well, speaking of, you know, working and, you know, getting ahead. You know, I don't think I've ever asked you how you actually got into building boots. What drew you into becoming a bootmaker, Dan?
Well, it started back in the 90s. Like I said, our kids were in, you know, involved in 4-H and things. And at that time, I had a small ranch lease. And if anybody remembers the cow market then, we tried to raise some registered Angus cattle, and we had about 35 or 40 head of registered cows, I guess, and maybe that number of commercial cows as well. And the registered cows, it was the sell for less method. You know, you always buy them high, and then you try to hope the market holds, and when it don't, you're in trouble. And that's kind of the position I found myself in. But nevertheless, wow. the kids were doing well in 4-H and stuff, and one of the daughters actually had won the local 4-H show with her yearling horse the year before and won all the purple rosettes and everything. And I said, well, you know, anybody can lead a horse out in the arena and even do a pattern with a horse on a halter and win. But if you win next year under saddle, I'll take you to the state show. And that was Dr. Kenny who became my business partner. But
right.
So, of course, the next year she won every show under saddle. So I had to eat my words and take her to the state show. And so before that time, though, you know, my four old boots had holes in the soles and the heels were run over and I couldn't afford a new pair. So I took them to the local repair shop. And the gentleman behind the counter there, of course, I've always said that a boot repair shop or maybe a saddle shop, anything like that, we call them a sober man's bar, because when the cowboys come in, you know, you can hear about whether they're calving or whether they're putting up hay or
right.
know, how horrible the weather is, if they're out in the cold and the snow or what it might be. So I refer to it as a sober man's bar, and I was no different. I was crying the blues to the poor guy going to fix my boots like he would even care. But anyhow, when he said, well, why don't you sell your cows and buy my shop? So about a week later, when I went to pick the repaired boots up, he said, well, have you considered what we talked about last week? And I said, you're serious about selling the shop? And his story was that he had moved up to Montana from California and wanted his younger kids to experience a more rural life and get them through their high school years without being involved in the things that were local to him in California. And that
right.
was due to come to an end. His youngest son was going to graduate high school, and then he wanted to go back to California, where, in his words, you know, the money is, where he can make some money. And so he would be more than happy to sell the boots off. So anyway, that was in September, and by the 1st of January, we owned the local repair shop. I had sold my cows and took a leap of faith in doing all of that.
And, wow.
So that's really where we got started. It was a small retail store and repair shop. And as we began to gain experience in repair and in the retail, of course, Dr. Kenny had the desire to build a pair of boots. And I met a eccentric, wonderful old man from over in Billings, Montana, named Mike Hyatt. And I convinced him to take my daughter as a tutorial, you know, to build a pair of boots with her. And when she came back from there, excited about building boots, a ton more questions than she left with. And of course, a finished pair of boots on her feet, which we were all very proud of her. We then found Carl Chappell down in St. Joe, Texas. And together, Kenny and I went down to his shop and took his two-week tutorial down there, each of us building a pair of boots. And then the rest, they say, is history. We came home and kind of hung our shingle out. And before we knew it, we were over 3 years behind. We would take the name and phone number and put you on a list. We didn't talk about the order. We didn't take money down. We just put you on the list, and the list just kept getting longer and longer. And so when your back is against the wall, generally is when you do your best work, whether it's
yes, yeah,
you know, in the corral or you know, with cabin time, and you got to stay up, you know, all hours of the night and work again the next day. I mean, whatever you have to do, you do better, I think, when you're back against the wall. As long as you don't have
right.
to do it forever.
Right. Wow.
But
wow.
That's really how we got started, was just kind of on a whim and a prayer, they say. But,
and you had no clue what you were doing when you bought that guy's shop. None. You'd never,
no,
you'd never
I think,
worked on.
No, never worked on any boots of any kind. Now, as a kid, you know, talking about the old days, my dad had an old tin tobacco box. And I always loved the smell of it because he had wax threads and things in there. And he would have solar boots and put new heel caps and stuff on them on the ranch. But of course, as a kid, you don't pay any attention to that.
You're, no.
You know,
yeah.
Dad says, hey, you're running those boots over. You better let me fix them. But he had no formal experience either. And looking back now, some of the work he did was pretty rough. But they'd have a new heel cap on them.
But they were functional.
Yeah,
gosh.
Yeah, purely functional. But so
oh,
far as experience goes, I had none. In leatherwork, years before that, it's kind of a long story. I'll make it as short as I can. We had a king and a bull break a leg one time, and we couldn't get him in to load him. We didn't know what to do, so we ended up having to shoot the bull way away from the trails, and he was on the fight and whatever, and we skinned him, sent the hide back then to the Tandy Leather Company in Great Falls and had the hide canned, and my brother and I split it, and we each made a pair of shafts, and then we had a sack left over a you know, scrap leather that we did a few things with, but that's as much leather work as I've ever done is that one pair of shafts when I was 16 or something. But
wow.
So the gentleman who apprenticed me was very skilled at what he did, and And, you know, that was simply boot repair, of course. But after you've got apart, you know, I don't know how many thousand pairs of boots, you become ready to do something with new leather for a change. And it was a nice
bet.
It worked out well. So.
Wow. Well, we're going to go to another song right now, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about your family and the incredible business that y'all have built. So let's listen right now to a dear, precious friend of mine and a song that I love to sing with her when we're at the same show. I get to sing harmony with her on this song, and it's called God is in the Roses, and it's Mary Kay. Wow, that song just always moves me. Have you heard that before? Have you heard that song before, Dan?
I don't know that I have heard it. It's beautiful, though.
Isn't it gorgeous? Yeah, she wrote that song after they nearly lost their son in a drowning.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and she said she just realized that she wasn't in control. You know, she was,
yeah.
You know, that she only controlled so much in her life and the rest was in God's hands and you just have to trust. So, I mean, that's a wonderful story behind that song. Oh, gosh. So back to you and your beautiful family. So you alluded a little bit that you guys, you know, you and your daughter kind of pulled together to form this business at this boot shop. But, I mean, you really turned this into quite a family business, and even started your own boot making school. So can you tell us how this really evolved for you guys?
Well, the boot making school is kind of interesting because, it's funny because we all get a telemarketer, I guess is the right word. You know, people calling and for several days we'd get a call and the gal on the other end of the phone spoke broken English and I would hang up on her immediately. We're busy. I don't have time to talk. I'm not buying anything. So forget about it. Well, finally, I let the gal talk long enough to say she wanted to be taught how to make boots. And she wasn't trying to sell me anything. And she was a woman from the Netherlands, and she had a visa that had not run out yet. And she'd done a lot of things, and she wanted to learn how to make boots. And somebody had given our name to her, and a little bit reluctantly, I said, "Well, okay, she was in Idaho at the time, and I said, if you come to Montana, we can at least visit about it." So she showed up, and with nowhere to stay, we had a older camp trailer in the backyard, so we set that up for her to stay in, and she stayed with us for about a month, and consequently went on back to the Netherlands and is building boots there today, I'm sure. But I haven't seen her now for years. But anyway, with that experience, it was kind of intriguing, and so little by little, we took on one student at a time, and sometimes it was a friend, sometimes it was somebody else in the business that wanted to enhance their skills and learn what little at the time we could teach them. And it just evolved to where we would take three students at a time and go through a 2-week, it's really a crash course in boot making, but it's 12 hours a day. We start at 7 in the morning and go to 7 at night.
Wow.
And the first week is really intense. Sometimes we're not out of the shop before 10, 11 o'clock at night and start again at 7 in the morning because we have a schedule we have to keep. And if you know anything about boots, you know everything is cut by hand, everything is measured by hand, and all the stitching is done, with a single needle machine. And so by the first Saturday evening, we have to have the boots lasted so they can begin to dry because they're soaking wet when they're lasted over the last of the foot.
Explain Dan, let me stop you there just a second because I know what a last is because I've had the pleasure of having custom boots done. But for people who don't know what a last is, can you please explain what that is?
Sure. It's we obviously first set you up in the chair and take measurements on an open paper. We take a circumference measurements at about 9 different locations on your foot, and then a perimeter drawing of your foot, and then a feet actually because none of us have this left and right that are identical. And then boot last is today the modern boot lasts are a plastic resin boot last. Historically, they were wooden, made from maple, and turned on a lathe, which is an interesting component that I've never been privy to really watching work. But anyway, it's what we call the negative of the foot, if you will. And so we take a last that most nearly fits your arch length. And then we alter it. We either add to it or sand away from it until it becomes the exact measurement of the foot itself. So that if you have bunions or if you have high insteps or if you have low arches or high arches, any of those kind of things are then reflected. That's why I say it's a negative of the foot. It's reflected then into the last. Mm-hmm. And so when we do the process we call lasting the boot, that's with pliers and hammers and tools that we physically stretch this leather, which becomes the vamp of the boot or the foot of the boot, over the top of the last itself. And as the leather dries and shrinks, it shrinks to an exact fit of your foot if everything is done right.
So
that lasting process has to be done by the first Saturday evening so that all of the bottoming work can be done the following week after the leather is dry.
Wow.
And so it's a pretty intense school. But having said that, I'll tell you a little more about her family real quick. You have met my twin granddaughters.
Yes. I wanted to talk
Serena.
About that. Yes. They grew up in your shop.
they literally cut their teeth on shoe leather. There's no doubt about that. But,
oh, yeah. These are Kenny's. These are Kenny's little girls, right? Your daughter,
correct.
Kenny.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. So they were an integral part of the shop every day. I mean, from the time they were born, they were in their little bouncy baskets on the countertops where we were working, on the layout tables and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then when they were in walkers, cruising around the shop before they could walk on their own, they could reach all of the shelving where the soles and the heels and a lot of the leather. And so it made about an extra hour every evening just going around and picking up, every mom goes around and picks up toys, but but we had to go around and pick up leather and material off the floor for them to. But yes. Anyway, having said that, things have changed around the shop because the twins are soon to be 6 years old. They started school this fall. Their mother is going to homeschool them. And also, Kenny and Jeff had another baby girl last May. So Kenny's pretty busy now.
Yes.
So she's opted out of the shop for the time being, which means that we've opted out of boot schools for the time being, too. So we'll see what the future holds. But the family is growing. And with Kenny wanting to homeschool the older girls, and then, of course, I don't know whether to say this on the radio or not, but I tell her she's got an all-day sucker. But until that's over with, she's a pretty busy mom. But
yes.
And then I tease my son-in-law, Jeff, that he now has a little house on the prairie. and maybe his only chance for a boy is to adopt one from the neighbor. But you'd have to be our age to understand that, I guess, when we talk about the old TV shows we watched growing up. But
Yes. Wow. That is so cool. Well, this is a good place to take another little break. And this is, we're going to do a song now by my very dear friends of the Sons of the San Joaquin, doing an old hymn called The Unclouded Day.
Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. They tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Tell me of a home where my friends have gone. Or they tell me of that land far away, where the tree of life in eternal bloom sheds its fragrance through the unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Smiles on his children there, and his smile drives their sorrows all away. And they tell me that no tears ever come again in that lovely land of unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day.
Were you clapping along, Dan?
Yeah, that's a wonderful song.
It is. Well, you know, something that was way cool is when I first met y'all and you were working on my boots that y'all made for me that we are going to be sharing on Facebook after we complete the show. Y'all were working out of your garage, were you not? I mean, it was like your shop was all set up and that was where you had your place of business. And
the
Lord radically shifted your lives in a way you had not seen coming. So tell us about how you ended up with Atomic. What is it? Atomic something or other, which is this crazy name y'all came up for your store. Yeah, but tell us about that.
It's Atomic-79 is the official name of the store. And yeah, we did work out of our garage for a long time. In 08, when the economy did what it did nationwide, we had a small retail store in town, and of course we built boots and repaired boots, and the economy got so tough that you couldn't sell enough retail boots off the shelf to even pay the rent downtown. And so we made the conscious decision that we didn't want to get out of the business and, you know, take a truck driving job or go back to cowboying. So we decided to move the equipment to the garage. We had customers that we had to fulfill orders for anyway. So then we started traveling to shows, and of course Heber City was one of the shows we had gone to where we met you. But and we went down to Scottsdale to the Arabian Finals, that 10-day show. We went to several shows around the country, and we'd clean orders there and then come home and build them. And as far as the craftsman goes, I mean, if you can make that work, that is ideal, because, you know, the girls, both Julie and Kenny, would tell me that it's pretty nice to be able to go to work in your slippers and you know, your kitchen is right there handy. And when the twins were little, if they got fussy, one of us could grab one or both of them and go in and sit in a rocking chair in the living room in front of the fire and put them to sleep and then come back out to work. It really was an ideal world. But you know, like everything, it runs its course. It seems like everything you do runs its course. And then the Atomic 79 story is a good friend of ours and a longtime friend. I'll just call him John for now, but he said, kept kind of pestering me about, why don't you get back into retail? You know, he's a visionary, I guess, if you will. And he says, the economy is kind of turning now and things are looking better. And so I finally said, well, if you want to go with me, we'll do it. I don't think I can do it by myself or, you know, quite frankly, afford it by myself. So that's where we're at, is we've got a partner. And, Atomic 79, there were six of us when this began. Of course, Kenny and her husband Jeff, and Julie and I, and John and his wife Bethany, and everybody put names down on a paper. And we went to dinner one night, and we passed this paper around, giving each of us the authority to cross a name off that had a ring that you didn't think you'd want to go to work there every day. And it ended up a tie between Atomic 79 and we said the Continental Cowboy. And if you remember the old Marty Robbins song about the cowboy Continental coat or whatever. So anyway, then a coin toss won Atomic 79. And what it means, if you remember the periodic table, I didn't, but of course my wife has a better memory than I do. And back when we were in school, that on the periodic table, AU-79 is gold, which again doesn't really mean anything unless you put into perspective where we live in Southwest Montana. And not too far from the ghost town now of Bannock, where the first territorial capital was in Bannock due to the gold strike. Then it moved over to Virginia City, which again isn't too far from us, and ultimately up to Helena, Montana, where the capital is today. But having said that, Dillon, Montana was the railroad hub for the gold industry early on. So we're here in Dillon, Montana. And so that's how the name kind of fits historically, as well as being a catchy name, because if it said Dummy's Boot Store on the front door, you know, if you didn't need boots or need boot repair, you wouldn't come in the store. So
we tried
to give it something that would create a little curiosity and hopefully a name that you wouldn't forget after you've been in the shop. But
it's beautiful. I mean, you have your full-on boot making thing happening in the back of the store that's impressive, that people can kind of peek in and watch y'all working with that great little loungy bar hangout, you know, hangout at the end of the day and decompress thing all the way to the very, very back. And then, but the front is beautiful. You guys have such an eye. I mean, it's clothes, it's pack, it's hats, it's boots off the shelf. Yeah. I mean, it is a wonderful, wonderful shop. Dillon had to be so thrilled when y'all opened up that shop.
Well, and they are, and they continue to be. We've had great support throughout the community. There's no question about that. And we've got our everyday, you know, everybody has their everyday customers, and our coffee pots on in the back. But that little back bar that you mentioned is you know, that was our lunchroom. So we thought, well, let's fix it up a little bit. So we put some elk antlers and a bear rug on the wall and dressed it up kind of old timey, but yet with modern conveniences like a cooler and an ice maker in the fridge and a gas oven so we can bake a pizza or whatever when we're in here working. But yeah, the community's been really good to us. And again, talking about family, you know, we got the building and it was in tough shape, but it was the whole family. You know, Kenny's husband, Jeff, is a contractor, so he was right there to help us with his hammer and saws. My daughter, Danny, is a journeyman electrician, and her husband, Richard, is a master electrician, so they helped us do the electrical work. The only thing we couldn't do, I think, was the plumbing. We had to hire an outside plumber. Otherwise, the family really kicked in to do all the remodel in the building. And
wow.
There was an old brick building with plaster on the inside, and we physically, literally scraped the plaster off the inside walls to re-expose the brick, and it turned out really, really a neat atmosphere. Everybody.
Oh, it's beautiful. It is beautiful. Anybody listening to the show ever gets to Dillon, Montana, you have to go into Dan's shop. I mean, you have to go because it is. I mean, it is just. The atmosphere is fun. You walk in and you want to see everything, and there's definitely things will catch your eye that you want to buy, but you just kind of want to pull up a chair and hang out. It just has this wonderful atmosphere, and you all can just, I mean, it's amazing how many you can carry on a conversation while you're just working away. I mean, doing pretty intricate stuff and just talking the whole time. It is awesome. You guys are just, you blow me away, Dan. You just are wonderful. All of you guys. Well,
We definitely have never met a stranger. We all have the ability to visit with anybody that comes in the door, and we enjoy it too. So, we try to specialize if we can on customer service, not only to make the sale and after the sale. That's a given, I think, for anybody right. Should do that. But the experience coming in and the employees, we actually have employees now, which we never had before, and they're college students. That are they're going to be here a while. In Dillon, we have Western Montana College, so they're going to be here a while, and they're doing an awesome job for us. And we got young Courtney up front, you know, does the dusting and cleaning and greeting the customers when they come in. And Cody is in the back here helping me repair boots now and doing a great job. And they're very personable kids, and they're very knowledgeable. We have a great time. There's never a dull moment. We always. Generally always have a smile on our face unless we do something and have a big rack with a pair of boots, but which can happen. It's just kind of like losing a calf in the spring. You got to start over again and hope for better next time, but so that happens. But generally speaking, we're all joking and teasing with each other and having a great time in the shop. But
it is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful place, I tell you. But we're going to go to another song before we let you go. And this is a wonderful up-and-coming Western singer named Trinity Seeley. And she's actually from Wyoming. Her husband, Foreman's a ranch there. And they're raising their children much like you raised your children, you know, out there mending fences and, you know, taking care of cows and taking care of hay and you know, all that wonderful, wonderful life. So she sings from her heart and she sings from her life and she writes most of her music. And this is one of hers. Her name is Trinity Seeley and this is Rides for the Brand.
Thank you. cowboy what it is about this barren land, or my cowboy's callous hands that's gone me by the heartstrings, so I never wanna leave. I guess they'll never love the cowboy, 'cause he rides for the brand and he rides.
That fun?
that's a great song, both spiritually and physically.
It is. Yep, she's a sweetie. If you ever get a chance to see her here, you know, see her close to y'all, you want to be sure and catch her show. She's a neat lady, so authentic, so just true to her roots and true to who she is. And she sings about her life. She's pretty awesome. Well, I can't believe our hour is like gone, Dan. Where did it go? It evaporated.
I don't know, Belinda.
It evaporated. So a couple of things before I let you go, Dan. What's on the horizon for Schwartz Boots and Atomic 79? You guys just keeping on, or do you have anything new coming up, or what's happening with you guys?
Boy, it seems like a whirlwind. We've been open now almost 3 years, and I'm talking about this hour going by. You should have been here for the 3 years. It doesn't seem possible. We joke and say that this boot shop is a time sucker. And goodness, we're here from, you know, generally pretty early in the morning till way after dark at night, just like we would have been if we were on the ranch. You know, it really consumes a lot of time. And I don't see any big changes coming. We're just going to keep on doing what we do. And I think we're going to try to get online through Atomic 79. That's been a thing we're working on. So any of the listeners out there that keep in touch on our webpage, and it'll, you know, hopefully we'll be able to not sell you a pair of handmade boots because we have to measure your feet, but we have a huge bunch of stuff out front that is good, high quality products. And
oh, it is
that cowboys need, of course. But
yeah, so tell them your website. Where can they go online and find you guys now?
Well, atomic79.com, I think, is the most common one. And there'll be a link there to schwartzboots.com, or you can go directly to schwartzboots.com. And I got to tell you right up front, we are not techie people, so it's hard to keep up building boots and trying to keep a website going. I envy anybody that can do that.
I hear that. Well, and spell your last name for everybody, because it's a little bit different than it sounds.
It is. It's S-C-H-W-A-R-Z. There's no T, and it's not S-W. It's S-C-H-W-A-R-Z. So we probably have butchered the pronunciation of it over the years. I don't know.
Oh, gosh. Well, it has been, and I have to tell you, you guys give awesome customer service. Like you said, I mean, I've experienced it. And if anybody can, you know, get to your shop and get their foot measured and you allow your customers to be very hands-on and very much participate in the development of the boot and what they want on it and how they want it to be. And I mean, it's just such a fun process and experience to be part of. And I could not believe how y'all just took, I had this kind of loose concept rolling around in my head, and I said, well, this is kind of what I'm thinking, talking with Kenny and Julia, and then Julia fires me back a sketch, and I was like, wow, that's just what was in my head. And she is, I mean, they're amazing. They're amazing. And it is a fun, fun experience.
Yeah, they definitely are the artistic ones in the shop. I don't have an artistic bone in my body. So they oftentimes will come to me and say, what do you think about this? And I can make suggestions, but I cannot pick the pencil up and redo it for them. It's just right. Beyond me. But we always say that we're limited only by two things. One is our ability, and the other is the customer's imagination. So
yep.
As long as we can make those two things work, we can do about anything on a boot top, you know, that anybody wants. Given the fact that function comes first, always function comes first. So if it goes against the grain of functionality, then we kind of refuse to do it, depending on where the boots are going to go. But
right.
So.
But it's wonderful, and I just encourage everybody to go check that out, and we'll put a link up, of course, that will help people get there after the show airs, and so just be looking for that. And again, Dan, thank you so much, and tell Julia thank you for all she did to help us pull this together, for you to be on the show and to just, you know, let you take an hour out of y'all's busy day to spend it with us here on the show. And just blessings to you guys, and just love you to pieces, and I can't wait to get back up to Dillon and see you guys. And I'm so dragging my husband this next time. He needs to come up and see your shop. We need to hang with you guys for a few days. That would be so fun.
We'll put a tool in your hand.
You know what? When you guys fire your boot school back up again, I have always, I mean, I may only want to do it once, but I would love to do it at least one time in my life. That's on my bucket list. So y'all let me know when that comes around again. And so my love to everybody. And we are going to close this portion of the show out with two of my favorite people will always be Joey and Rory. And one of my favorite songs that they do called Leave It There.
All right. Kick her off.
One, two, one, two.
If the world from you withholds of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in his word how he feeds the little. Take your burden to the Lord, leave it there, leave it there, leave it there. Just take your burden to the Lord, oh, and leave it there. If you trust him through your doubt, he will surely bring you. Take your burden to the Lord, leave it there. Now if your body suffers pain, soul is slowly sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can say, he can heal. Take your burden to the Lord, leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord, oh, and leave it there. If you trust him through your doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord, leave it there.
I miss her. I do. Sweet thing. Anyway, man, I have so enjoyed having Dan on the show today. His family is obviously very special to me, and it's been wonderful getting to know more about them. And every time I talk with them or I'm able to spend any time with them, I always feel their deep commitment to and unwavering trust in the Lord. And it's just part of their being, like a gentle, soothing fragrance that surrounds them, and you get caught up in that when you get to be with them. And I love how they are willing to just step out on faith and allow the Lord to lead them, even when they are not sure exactly where it's all going. I mean, it's just amazing. They are just such an inspiration to the rest of us. And as I was thinking about this and about Dan and his beautiful family, one of my favorite scriptures came to mind, and that's in Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. And as I was thinking about this scripture, as it relates to Dan and his family, I realized how much more exciting our lives are when we hand the reins over to our precious Lord. And not only that, when we step out on faith, it's like building a muscle. You know, the more we use it, the bigger and the stronger it becomes. And I truly believe that's what the Lord desires for each of us, is that our faith and our trust in him gets so strong and so big that absolutely nothing flaps us. We know that we know that we know we are in the palm of his hand. And then no matter how anything appears in the moment, God is in control and working everything together for our good. What an extraordinary promise. And when we can really live in that promise and just take comfort from it and know it, what an extraordinary life we are given. Well, that wraps our show for today. Thank you so much for joining us and giving us the gift of your time. Thank you again to our very special guest, Dan Schwartz, for visiting and sharing with us today. And there is never a big enough thank you for my amazing producer, Gary Holt, for all he does behind the scenes to make this show happen. Please check out all of the other fabulous shows on Equestrian Legacy Radio. And remember that they are archived for you to listen to at your convenience. You can even download our nifty mobile app that allows you to take us on the go with you. And if you like our shows, please help us spread the word by liking us on Facebook and telling your friends about us. Thank you again for joining us today. And until next week, may all of your trails be blessed.
God be with you till we meet again. When life's perils thick confound you, put his arms unfailing round you. God be with you till we meet again.
God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel's guide uphold. Your
with you till we meet again. Keep love's banner floating o'er you. Smite death's threatening wave before you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we